Okay, the next two verses talk about heaven. You know, people always say, I want to go to heaven. So what is heaven? How to go there? And what to do when you are in heaven? Everything is explained very beautifully in the next two verses. So verse number 20 and 21. Traividya mam soma paf puta papaha. Yajnairishtva svargatim prarthayante. Te punyam asadya surendra lokam. Ashnanti divyan divideva bhogan. Te tam bhuktva svargalokam vishalam. Kshine punye martyalokam vishanti. Evam trai dharma manu prapannaha. Gata gatam kama kama labhante. So Traividya. So three types of Vedas. Three Vedas or three types of knowledge. Mam somapah putapapaha. Somapah. Somapah means the one who has drunk the soma. Swamiji in his commentary describes drinking of the soma juice as the end of the rituals. When the rituals ended, they drank a little bit of that soma juice, signifying that the ritual, the prayers had ended. Just as, you know, you say, having had the dessert, the person got up to speak. Now, when we say having had the dessert, he got up to speak, what we mean is he had finished his dinner and he had had his dessert. So here, when he says somapa means having finished the rituals and performed all the rituals, putapapaha, and all their sins have become purified, have their sins have been destroyed. And yajnair ishtva, and in the yajnas, when they are off doing all the rituals in the Vedic period, they used to offer rituals to the gods by offering grains in the fire and chanting the name of the Lord and chanting the mantras, different mantras. Why did they do them? Swargatim prarthayante. They wanted to go to heaven. They said, after death, I want to go to heaven. So, swargatim prarthayante. Te punyam asadya. And these wise people, punyam, these purified people, asadya, having reached where? Surendra lokam. Sura Indra means the lord of all the gods. He's called Indra. And his world, Indra loka, is the world of tremendous sense pleasures, all kinds of pleasures you can have, all kinds of joys and everything you can have. Surendra lokam, ashnanti divyan, divi deva bhogan. Ashnanti, they then enjoy divyan deva bhogan, where divi in the heaven, divyan deva bhogan, all the divine royal pleasures they enjoy. So just briefly, we can go over this. Like in heaven, you know, what is heaven? So they say heaven is the place where you can enjoy all the sense pleasures, whatever you want. You know, you go to heaven, and why is it so wonderful? You never get old. All the boys are 23 and all the girls are 19. And they stay like that forever. Never get old. You don't need health insurance. Why? You never get sick. You don't need to go to the office. You can just play golf all day. Or you can, if you don't want to play, you can just sleep all day. Nothing to do. Eat, sleep, and you never gain weight. See, that's the best part. You can eat all you want. So all wonderful things happen there. You don't need, you know, and then you never die. You know, you live for years enjoying those pleasures. And that is the ultimate of luxury, you know. And then even in heaven, Swami Chinmayananda says, there are grades of heaven. You know, in the heaven, there are some slums. You know, if you have done a few good deeds, he says, if you have attended one of my camps, you will go to the slums of heaven. But if you come to five, you will go to with Indra, you know, the highest heaven. Where next to Indra, why you get invited to all his parties and you can see all the beautiful girls, Ramba and all of those dancing and all the musicians, you know, performing and Chitraratha and Gandharvas all performing and singing. And then there you get invited to all the special events and you are one of the important people in heaven. That's why he says Surendra Lokam, the highest heaven you have gone to. And you are enjoying, you know, you are having the wonderful time and enjoying Divi Deva Bhogan, enjoying lot of sense pleasures. So talking about heaven reminds me of this story. There was this priest and this New York taxi driver, you know, people who drive taxi in New York. So the priest was riding in his taxi and met with an accident and the taxi got crushed. And so the taxi driver and the priest both died and they went up to the, you know, and they were standing in line to be admitted to heaven. And St. Peter was looking at everybody's. And so he called the taxi driver, you know, Bob Jones, come first. So Bob Jones, the taxi driver, went first. And then after a few hours, he says, Father Patrick, you can come now. So Father Patrick got very upset. He said, what is that? He said, I have been preaching God's name for my whole life. And I had to wait in line for 4 hours. And this taxi driver, he got admitted 4 hours before. It's not fair. So St. Peter says, look, Father, look, when you were preaching in church, people were sleeping. Yeah? When you were preaching in church, people were sleeping. But when he was driving, everybody was praying. Everybody was praying too. So he brought more people to Jesus than you did. So he gets admitted. So that's why they say that having done all the good deeds and, you know, like, you know, people do so many rituals to go to heaven. They sit down and do rituals for hours. Or some people will pray 5 times a day. When we went to Kailash, some of us went to Kailash, and there are these people who are going around Kailash. It is 27 miles or something, and it is very high up in the mountains, like 11,000 feet. The air is very, very thin. And we were walking, and there were some people who were lying down. They would lie down, put a mark, and then get up, and again lie down. And so what, you know, took us a few days to circle, it takes them months. Why are they doing that in that cold and all? Why? Because they want to go higher. Or like, there's a famous church in Spain, which is dedicated to Maria, the mother goddess. And it is very interesting. There it is said that people, to go up there, don't walk on foot. They walk on their knees and hands. But that road, which is up the hill, it is very steep. It's not a road. There are rocks. They have purposely left it unfinished. And there are sharp rocks. And as people walk, they are bleeding. You know, thousands of people are there and their knees are bleeding and their hands are bleeding. And with the bleeding knees, they go up, up, up. And as they walk into the church on their knees, the whole center of that church is full of human blood. And you are actually, why? Because, oh, by doing that. And why do they do that? By doing that, if you go to that church, go on your knees, you get whatever you wish for. Whatever your desire is gets fulfilled. You want a husband, you get a husband. You want your son to get well, he gets well. You want him to get, her daughter to get married, your son to get a job. Whatever your business to be successful, whatever you desire. So what the point of this matter is that people perform rituals, but they do not perform rituals to purify the mind. They perform rituals to reach heaven. That is the goal of the rituals, is that I should go to heaven. Like some of these, you know, people who say, oh, suicide bombers, if I kill myself, then I will go to heaven and I'll get, you know, all these pleasures. So the point of the matter is that people are doing things just to go to heaven. And what is the meaning of Trividya? What is the first word is there? He said Trividya, Swamiji says, has two meanings. One is it talks about the three Vedas. Can you see? Like the three Vedas, the Rig Ved, Sama Ved, and the Yajur Ved. The Atharva Ved was written later. So sometimes this Ved Vyasi doesn't mention the Atharva Ved. Also, Atharva Ved mostly talks about science, engineering, the tantric knowledge. So these were the three Vedas that were more the spiritual topics, and this is more the material topic. So Trividya. Also, Trividya means three types of knowledge. In our Vedas, the Vedas are divided into three portions: the mantras, the Brahmanas, and the Upanishads. So the mantras, which is the first portion of the Vedas, talks about nature. So the mantras in the mantra portion are all devoted towards praising nature and praising the gods, you know, who like the Lord of the wind, the Lord of the sun, the Lord of the rain. So all those gods and nature are praised in the first portion, which is the mantras. In the second portion, which is called the Brahmanas, are the rituals. And the rituals are what these priests do. You call them and say, okay, you know, whatever you want to do. Say you have built a new house, so you want to bless that house, or you have a new son and you want to have prayers for him, or at the time of the wedding, or, you know, all those times. So these rituals are performed. But majority of people perform rituals just to get heaven. Oh, by doing this ritual and by doing this prayer, I will go to heaven and there I will enjoy. But what is the purpose of doing it? If you're all you're going to do is go to heaven and enjoy, then it's the same thing you're doing on the earth. It's just a little more magnified. Here you are enjoying the food and pleasures. There you are enjoying them for a longer period of time. That's why they say you can live in heaven for 100 years or 500 years or 1,000 years. But ultimately, you have to come back, which he will talk in the next one. So it says the third portion of the Vedas, called the Upanishads, which the Bhagavad Gita is the summary of the Upanishads, is the highest knowledge. That's why it says we chant, you know, Sarvo Upanishado Gavo Dogda Gopala Nandanaha. So the Upanishads are the knowledge and the Gita is the essence. So the Upanishads is the highest knowledge, which tells me who I am, and what is my purpose on this earth, and why am I created, and who is God. So most people never get to the Upanishads, you know, because it's too difficult. And it is true, the Upanishads are very difficult to understand unless you have a teacher like Swami Chinmayananda or Swami Ishwarananda or Brahmachari Prabodhji or somebody like that who can explain the knowledge to us. And so most of the people just stay in the mantras or the rituals or praising nature. They never go to the highest knowledge. And all there, when you are only doing rituals and not knowing why you are doing the rituals, then you get the benefit of the rituals. We're not saying that the rituals are not beneficial. They'll give you a lot of peace on this earth and also give you, you know, happiness afterwards. But then you have not gone beyond the cycle of birth and death. And that's what he says in the verse number 21. Tetam bhuktva swarga lokam vishalam. There, that swarga lokam vishalam, that vast heaven, huge heaven, bhuktva, having enjoyed these people, then what happens? Kshine punye martya lokam vishanti. Kshine punye, their meritorious deeds are exhausted and they have to come back to martya lokam, this world of death. Having enjoyed for many, many years. Okay, in the earth you live for 70 years, there you live for 700 years or 7,000 years. Okay, but then you still have to come back. Like when you go on to Hawaii, you know, this man takes his girlfriend and they go to Hawaii. Now he says, you know, darling, we'll have a great time. But after a week or two, what happens? He finds his money is finished. You know, his credit limit is getting exhausted because she's spending money left and right. And he's worried. So what does he do? He quietly sends an email to his office. You know, call me at 10 o'clock in the morning. And so his phone rings and he says, what is this? I've told my office not to call me. I'm on vacation. Don't they know? But then he answers the phone. He says, you know, darling, there is something very important. You know, major problem, as catastrophes, a major crisis is there. There is a big contract we are going to lose. Sorry, we have to go back. So then she says, oh, okay, you know, now his contract is ending. So why did he go back? Not because he wanted to go back. Punye, kshine punye. His money had finished. His credit card was maxing out and he had no more money. So he had to go back and then earn again. Okay, a year later he will earn and then he can say, okay, again, let's go to Hawaii or let's go to the Bahamas or let's go to Paris. So similarly, we accumulate merits on this earth and then we go enjoy them in heaven. But ultimately, the merits have to be exhausted. And when the merits are exhausted, you have to come back. Like here, we find a lot of people that have no idea of saving. So Monday to Friday, they work hard. Earn. And then Saturday, Sunday, blow it all. Finished. You know, by Monday morning, they have no money. Not only no money, they come back, you know, they say after the weekend, they come back weakened. Why? They have had so much fun, they have no energy left. They have enjoyed themselves. So work hard for 5 days and then spend all the money for 2 days. So that is how the people live. So that is what he says, that people accumulate merits. They do a lot of good deeds, do pujas, do rituals. But why? So I can go to heaven and have lots of fun. So they deprive themselves of joys here so that they may enjoy joys there. No, it doesn't make sense. So the idea of spiritual is, that's why he says, evam trayi dharma anuprapanna, and practicing these rituals again and again. Gata gatam kama kama labhante. What all do they accomplish at the end? Going and coming, going and coming. I go to heaven, I enjoy, I come back to this world, I again start from A, B, C, D. You know, Shankaracharya ji says, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatre shainam. Again, you are entering your mother's womb, and then you spend 9 months, you know, squeezed like that, can't move around, and then you come out, and then you have to go through diaper training and toilet training and learn A, B, C, D, A for apple, B for bat, C for cat. Again, you start all that, you know, for what? He says that, realize that such people, he says, they are kama kama. They are desirers of desire. They are desire prompted. So he says, do not do activities just with desire prompted. Even our spiritual activities that we are doing it, oh, by going to the church or temple or mosque. We go there asking, I should get this, oh Lord, I should get that. And then we go with a long laundry list. You know, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. And then out of 9, if he gives me 8 and then doesn't give me the 9th, then we are angry with him. You know, you didn't even give me this. I came and lit a candle and I wanted a contract for $1,000,000 and I lit a candle in your church. So God says, you think I'm a fool? You are lighting a 2-cent candle and you want $1,000,000 contract? He says, be reasonable. So, you know, even with God, we do business, you know. I prayed so many times, so I should get this. It's not that one should, you know, if you need something and you are suffering, yeah, you go to the Lord and pray and he gives you strength to talk. We are not saying that, you know, it's better to ask him than to ask somebody else in the world. And if you're going through problems, yes, if you pray and you remember him, he will honor that prayers. He will give you the strength to bear the problems and he will even help you in your suffering. But the idea is that throughout your life, it should not be just for acquiring, getting, wanting more and more. So in all your activities, first of all, work without desire prompted. Do activities which are not desire prompted, do activities that are unselfish, and serve him as much as you can, remember him, and then ultimately realize that study the Upanishads, study the Bhagavad Gita, so that you go beyond these desire prompted activities and go to one that is beyond all of these. And only when you realize that truth, experience that oneness, that is beyond, as we said, beyond manifest, beyond unmanifest, beyond sat, beyond asat, beyond mortality, immortality. That is the only way to not come back. Otherwise, no matter how much you do, if you are just, you know, some people say, as long as I am a good person and I do good things and I don't harm everybody, it is fine. Yeah, that is good. That is very nice. You do good deeds and you don't harm everybody and you serve. But ultimately, you have to know who you are. And that's why the path of knowledge, last week also we talked about, nahi gyane na sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. You have to know who am I. You have to know who is God. You have to know what is my relationship. You have to know how I can know him? How can I reach him? How can I experience him? And that has to be the goal of every human being. Otherwise, you know, you are just going through this cycle of birth and death, birth and death, birth and death, again and again. And how long are you going to do that? That is why Sri Krishna says, these people, they are just desirers of desire. Kama, kama, labhante. And it's almost like he's discounting the whole thing, you know, like sarcastically. There's a little bit of sarcasm in this particular verse, that is all you're going to desire, you know, heaven, then, you know, what have you accomplished? Nothing. Whatever you are doing here, you're just doing a 10 times more there, but you have not changed your basic way of thinking. And that is very important, that change how you think and change the direction of your thoughts towards the higher, which is beyond all this body, mind, and intellect. Because even if you're desiring, all you're doing is strengthening your vasanas. Okay, I had a lot of pleasure here, but I'm going to have 100 times more pleasure. So it is the same thing. All, you know, you haven't got out of this trap. And that is why he says that, remember me at all times. And the next verse actually will talk about how you can remember the Lord, but which we'll do next week. That remember me at all times, work with me as your goal, and use me in all your actions, and then you will reach me. So that is the essence of these two beautiful verses, which actually discount everything that so far we have believed about, you know, rituals and pujas. And that we're not saying that one should not do rituals and not go to the temple or not do pujas. They are all very good, but they serve a purpose of quietening the mind. When you're doing the ritual or when you're doing the puja, sitting in front of the fire, and the priest is chanting the mantras, the sound of the mantras, and that all the prayers, especially the Sanskrit prayers, they have a lot of power because they can quieten your mind and make your mind very peaceful. And with that peaceful mind, I should then turn my attention to who I am. So rituals and pujas are very important, but can only take you so far. You have to go beyond that. So use them as a stepping stone to the highest truth. So that is the essence of this. We're not saying that we should not do pujas or rituals or go to the temple or chant the name of the Lord or, you know, all that. That is wonderful. But ultimately, you have to get the highest knowledge. And then only your journey is complete. Otherwise, you're going halfway and not reaching the highest. We have a few minutes. If there's any questions or any comments? Yes.
So is that going to be the cycle, part of the cycle? And the goal is to be actualized in bypass?
To liberate it from the cycle.
So you liberate from heaven too?
Yes. That's why in the rishis, they don't even give importance to heaven. Because heaven is what? It's just another place of enjoyment. See, a person who is sitting in meditation on the banks of the river in the Himalayas has given up worldly pleasures, right? He gave up his family, he gave up his house, he gave up his job, he was a software engineer, he gave all that and he's sitting in meditation. So he gave up the worldly pleasures to meditate. Again, then if he's going to get other pleasures, what has he accomplished? So by giving up all this, you want the highest. You don't want just more of the same. So heaven is, you know, it's just a place of sense pleasures. It's just magnified sense pleasures. That's all it is. Heaven is not the highest. Heaven is still a lower world. There are higher realms that's called, like, you know, Brahma Loka and all that, where ultimately he becomes one with the consciousness, where that ego disappears, that individuality disappears. Otherwise, person who goes to heaven still has his mind and intellect and his desires. He goes there, enjoys, and comes back. But when all of these are gone, then he becomes one with the consciousness and merges. And it's not that the person becomes nothing or becomes useless. He's experiencing a much higher joy of oneness with the Lord. And that is what these great saints. That's why Mirabai, you know, in her life, she wanted to become one with Krishna. And that's what happened at the end. She merged in that. So all these great saints, you know, experience that oneness. Even Jesus said, you know, the Father in heaven and I are one. So they, you can experience that while living. See, that's another thing. You know, you can experience that while living, or you can even experience it after death. So that's some of the great saints, they experience it right here and now, that I and he are one. And they can, you know, say that confidently because they have experienced it. You know, you and I may say it, but we don't have that experience yet. True, true. Discipline is good, you know, giving up at Lent or fasting and all. But then that fasting, or if while fasting, if I'm thinking about food, then I'm defeating the purpose. While fasting, I should be thinking about him. So doing discipline is good, but when it becomes to the point of torturing the body, then that is not good. That's what Buddha also experienced. He was torturing his body, and then he realized that that is not going to take me to the highest. And then he sat in meditation and experienced that state of oneness, where he said there is end of all thoughts and end of all sorrows. End of all sorrows does not mean that he didn't die. End of sorrows means he realized that I am that immortal truth that never ends. So yes, aham brahmasmi, I am that consciousness. You know, and that is what the teacher tells us, that you are that. And the highest knowledge is I am that. Here we have been talking about this in the Thursday class. Tattvamasi, that thou art. The teacher tells you, you are that consciousness. That consciousness, we think of God as that, you know, that God who is sitting there in heaven or there in Bethlehem or there in Mecca. So that God, you are that. You know, you are, that is, you and he are one, there is no difference. And then the student understands, you are asking, what is the highest knowledge? Aham Brahmasmi. I am that consciousness. Not I am God. It's not that, we don't misunderstand. It's not that I am God, but I am that consciousness which is all-pervading. Everything is that consciousness. So that experience, like a wave, can think itself to be the wave. And as long as it thinks I'm a limited wave, then the wave is born, and then wave lives for a while, and wave dies. Then the wave will become sad, I'm dying. But if the wave says, I am the ocean, I am the water in which all the waves arise, then whether the wave dies or doesn't die, to the wave it doesn't matter at all. So that understanding, when it comes, then that is the highest knowledge. That's what the Upanishads teach us, that. That you are that. That is in the Chandogya Upanishad, Tattvamasi, is one of the Mahavakyas, the great sayings, the great statements. Actually, the Chandogya Upanishad is a story of a student who goes to a teacher, and through practical examples how he teaches him. So it's a very nice Upanishad. I would recommend people to read it. So he then experiences that I am that consciousness. Chandogya Upanishad it's called. Well, yeah. First of all, it's better, instead of having bad desires, to have good desires. That's good. You know, that's better. But ultimately, you have to go beyond all desires, because desire means I'm incomplete. Why do I desire something? Because I'm incomplete. So out of a sense of incompleteness, you desire. It could be a good, bad desire, like cheating somebody, or it could be a good desire. I want to go to visit all the pilgrimage places. That is a good desire. But then even that is still coming out of incompleteness. Ultimately, you understand that I am that consciousness who is all complete. And no matter whether I get anything or I don't get anything, either way, I am not affected. Like an ocean might say, no matter waves arise in me or fall in me, I am complete. The ocean is not affected by the wave. So similarly, a person who has gone beyond desires is not affected when things come or they go, when he has them or doesn't have them. So one has to go beyond that, realizing that, and that can only come through understanding, through knowledge. Otherwise, you are just all the time acquiring. Even, you know, like the going to pilgrimage places, it is good. But then if it becomes a passion that today I go to Badrinath, then I go to Kedarnath, then I go to Kailash. So the idea is when you go there, you feel the Lord's presence. That is why you go beyond desires. Because you realize you are the desireless, complete entity. Birthless, deathless, that I am. I think because our scriptures have devised life into four sections. You know, the 25 is the brahmacharya, and 25, 28, 30. So the student life, they have to work and study. And then 25 to 30 is the grahastha ashram, where I have to work, I have to take care of my family, my children, my parents, you know, I have to take care of saints and all the religious institutions. So, but while I'm doing the grahastha ashram, I should not only be doing that and acquiring and accumulating, but remembering the Lord and serving Him and trying to do. And then once my children are grown and they are settled or they are settling, then I should spend more and more time after age 50 in spiritual studies and pursuits, in prayers, in you know, charity and things like that, and stop accumulating and start sharing and doing, helping. And also spending more time myself in study, meditation, prayer, meeting with saints, associating with good teachers and all that. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.